Thank you, Brother Randy. This evening, we're going to be looking at building margins into our life. Building margin into our life. I'll give you the definition of that in a moment. But what we need to focus on is this. We're a piled on, stretched to the limit society. You all agree with that? Piled on, stretched to the limit society. All the way, yeah, about ready to rip it up. Get them a study guide, Brother Randy. We are chronically rushed, chronically late, and chronically exhausted. Huh? Is that not, you know, and for a complete society, we're all falling right into this. That's the society of our generation. Job 3:26, listen to him. I have no peace. I have no quiet. I have no rest, and trouble keeps coming. Ah, the life of Job. No peace, no quiet, no rest, and the troubles keep coming. You get to one point in your life, and you say, I've got this mastered, I've got this taken care of, then all of a sudden, all the evils of life attack you at the same time, and you find yourself right back where you began. Here's the common areas where we express overload in our life. Now, I know I've done this as a study, but I did this as a study for me. And then I realized, Miss Renee, there are too many people that fit into this category, you being one of them, and that all of us will fit in these categories. Am I correct? Huh? So I thought, you know, let's just do a whole study instead of nailing the preacher. So as I nail the preacher, I'm going to nail all of us together. Are you ready? Common areas where we express overload in our life. Activities. You know, I got kids, I got grandkids, I got to get them here, one there, one here, one another place, and there's only one of me. Activities. Overload. In our life. I don't know, you know, being too active. It's being active, going in different directions to get people to be active. We catch ourselves. How many times have you waved at yourself during the day on your round trip? Trying to help you out on this, folks. But that's what we do. We get caught up in it. Then there's work. Overload in our life, work. Some people are totally overworked. Some people just are totally overworked. No sympathy, because best be one who pitches work on and says, here, take a little more work to help calm you down, to take it more work. The next is information. Overload in my life. I am too informed. I have listened to the news entirely too much. I am overloaded with information. I have so much information that I don't have any idea what to do with what I've heard. I have all of it, and that's one day. Yeah, you turn it off, but it stays in your head. Have you noticed? Yeah, pick up tomorrow. You never lose out. See? Been there, haven't you? Yep. All right. Told you. Change. Overload in life. Change. Too much is changing, and it's changing way too fast. Kids, we will put a brick on your head and you will not grow anymore. I'm going to get you at a stage in life where you're just so lovable, but I don't want you leaving that stage. And then they become teenagers. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, and then you think that's bad. After that change of going from preteen or tween age into teenage, and then they go into the 18 to 25 year age bracket, that's a horrible age. You don't fit in anywhere, and you're looking, You leave church, you leave home, you leave this, and you come back and do, I don't need the church, I don't need God, I don't need a home, I don't need mom, I don't need, and then all of a sudden you hit somewhere around 25 or so, or life hits you before then, and then all of a sudden you think, I need all of them. I need all of them. And then we start getting wiser, we think. That's the 30s. Then we're overloaded in life. We're overloaded in debt. I've always wanted everything for everybody, so I made sure that everybody had everything, and I gave up everything and owe everything that I have so that everybody could have everything. And it... then they just go off and into one of those many stages that they get into. Accessibility. We become too accessible. Folks, anybody in the country, and it drives your pastor crazy. Well, preacher, I've been trying to get in touch with you. My cell number is on the wall at the jail. Good gracious. Anybody can call me at any time, and most of them do. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Did you ever answer? You're going to get me out of jail? Shut up. No. Rot. You know, hey, that's the loving part of the pastor that comes out at that time. There. But think of that. Accessibility. Sometimes you make yourself too accessible. Sometimes you're too accessible. You can't when you're a pastor. Yeah, everybody else turn yours off. If you turn yours off, you might be calling a pastor. Yeah, okay. Overload in life. Next one. Choices. Too many choices. I don't even know what to eat at lunch on Sunday afternoon. Too many restaurants in this town. Too many different choices to go to. There is, isn't there? Yeah, yeah. Well, look at the, I want to go grocery shopping for a man. I go in and start looking down the aisle, and Faye says, get the string beans or French strong beans. I was in the Marines, and I don't remember what the French looked like when they were strung out. But they, if the, God bless you, David, you'll be here half night editing on it. Don't edit it, son, that's fine. But and you look, and I looked at all those beans. Why? Why do you have all of those choices? Okay. Overload completely. I've got, now I take pictures of stuff. You know, go pick this up at the store. I take a picture of it, carry that picture with me. And if I don't have that picture, I'm in another dilemma because I don't know what to do. We don't have the one that's pictured. We'll get something close to it. What in the world is close to it? But I don't even know what the stuff is to begin with. Okay, let me go on. I'm sorry. Yeah, my wife, I was told to, you know, get all of this out of my system before I started this, but obviously I didn't. Overload in life, the media. I've already told you that. And overload on the pace of life. You don't pace yourself anymore. And we say, and the reason we don't is because we don't see ourselves having the time to do the pacing, because everything needs to be done and needs to be done right now, and we've got to get it done because it's due by July, so we need to get it done and get it done now. We can't pace ourselves, and that pace of life is a rapid pace. Here's the solution. Put some margin in your life. Now look at your definitions. I've got you here. On page 1, marginless is being asked to carry a load 5 pounds heavier than you can lift. Pastor asks people to do that all the time. It's being asked to carry a load 5 pounds heavier than you can lift. Well, why wouldn't I? Because if I get somebody else to help lift the weight up on your shoulders and you can still walk, just put it up there. Margin. Margin is the space between my load and my limit. It's the space between my load and my limit. And have you ever made the statement, I think I've reached my limit? I think, you know, that's it, that's my limit. But have you ever noticed you keep going? Have you noticed that you go until something breaks, something cracks, something starts squeaking in your legs or knees and all of a sudden you sort of freeze up? Have you noticed that? Most of us are far more overloaded than we can handle. And there is no margin for error in our life. We're doing what we're doing, and there's no margin left for us to make a mistake. Because that mistake to us is devastating. Because a person who is this way is a person that wants to get it done right. And you're wanting it to, you want to fulfill the expectations of everybody else in your life. And you're wanting to do it right, get it right, and make everybody feel good. And as Renee said a while ago, most of them don't pay any attention to it anyway. But that's okay. That should never stop us from doing it. You know why we do it? Because our heart is right. We want to do it, and we want to please people. But not everyone can ever be pleased. It's never going to get to a point to where you're going to please, well, even 10% in your life. I think you're doing pretty good there. You're right. You'll never please everybody. What was that song, I Might As Well Please Myself? Was that a... Oh, kidder, don't act like you don't know those songs. Okay. Page 2. Here's the benefit of having margin in your life. You ready? More peace of mind in my life. Give me better health. If you put a little margin in your life, take a little break. Better health. Stronger relationships. More available for God to use. I've got time here. Hey, I can do this for the Lord. I got time. I've left margin in my life. My day is not filled up from one edge of the paper all the way to the other edge. I left a little margin on both sides, and top and the bottom. I have margin in my life. Let's look at the 5 steps to building margin. You ready? Number 1, we must accept our human limitations. If you all remember Hunter as he was growing up, Papa could do no wrong. Remember when we had the pie, the first pie that Papa was going to get from a vacation Bible school? The first pie that I was going to get there, Hunter cried. He did not want to see anybody put a pie in his Papa's face. The next year, guess who put the pie in Papa's face? Yes, he did. And guess who smeared it around, cackling? We must accept our human limitations. Psalm 119, verse 96. I have learned that everything has limits. Vance, you've reached your limit with me. I never have really understood what that means. Yeah, you've reached your limits with me. No, Faye never did say that. Because I'm such a good, nice. God is the author. Now listen to this one. God is the author of our limitations. We are limited. God's the author of the limitations. Put there for our good. He did it because he loves us. So rather than fighting our limits, we need to accept our limits. We need to accept them wholeheartedly. We all have limitations. You have a physical limitation. We all have physical limitations. We can only do so much physically. Emotional. Do you ever just lose it? You know, just lose it emotionally. I've done it. I do it all the time in the pulpit. When I get to thinking about a child that may have been harmed or any of that, it just goes all over your pastor. Or I think about how Brother Randy has said something hurt my feelings or some of that. Just that emotions come out. We have limitations, mental limitations. I am really limited there anymore. You push that old mind so far, and the old mind, it doesn't talk back to me. It just quits. It just shuts down. Your brain, you're sitting there thinking, what was I getting ready to say? What was I getting ready to ask? Where am I? You know, mentally, you just completely shut down. And then time. We're limited on time. Folks, you are not going to get more than 24 hours out of a day. You are not going to do it. I don't care what you call it. There's going to be 24 hours in the day, and you're not stretching it. You're not going to stretch your lifespan 1 millisecond beyond the appointed time that God has set for you. At that appointed time, you're leaving planet Earth. Now, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to the right planet as a Christian. But you are limited in that time. I'll tell you more about that, I think, in here somewhere. And then the limitation on space. You can do so much with so much space. You can preach or teach in a certain area. You want it spread throughout the world. But you're not going to go throughout the world because you don't have the time to do it. You don't have the mental capacity to take it throughout the world. God has someone for that purpose, but you're not the one. So you're limited in the space. So the most important space that you're going to find in your life is going to be your family, the ones closest to you. They might be biological, but in the majority of times, the greatest families and the closest families you'll have in your life are not biological. They're the families that are loaded with love for you, care for you. They smart off to you. You smart off to them. They're family. And that connection is there. Whether you like it or not, that connection is there. Has nothing to do with the biological connection. Although some do have that within their biological family. Your wife's not biological. Your husband's not biological, I hope or don't think. Yet do you not? Do you not grow in that relationship? Here's what we're going to do. In the physical, emotional, mental, time, space, here's one thing that's going to take place in our life. We're going to grow. We're either going to grow apart or we're going to grow closer together. But you're going to grow. Because that's the nature that God has given us. Listen to Job again, 14 verse 5. Our time is limited. You, God, have given us only so many months to live. Only so many months to live. And have set limits we cannot go beyond. I said appointed time. I told you all that. Now, can you die prior to that time? Yes. Yes, many people die prior to the appointed time because of their foolishness, because of the way they treat their body, because they go out and because of an accident, multiplicity of things. Okay, why pray for each other? Why pray for each other when I keep hearing people say, well, it was their time to go? And I just get hog slobbering mad over that. How do you know that? I don't know what the appointed time is for your life, so I promise you this. I will pray for you and for your healing and for God's deliverance of you for whatever it is, because what if it's not your appointed time? God says if I will pray, then he will hear that prayer and he will answer that prayer. And he always answers the prayer on a positive. Now, it may be negative to your thinking, but it'll be a positive for your life. He always does that. He has set limits we cannot go beyond. But we can certainly, when it comes to that time, you're out of here. I don't care who's praying for you. When that time comes, that ultimate time, you're out of here. You're gone. But we pray for each other because we don't know that time. Else why even pray? Any questions on that? Okay. Page 3, Number two, with our age group, you got this one. Expect to have problems. I get rid of one problem today, I guarantee you I expect to have a bunch more tonight or tomorrow. There'll be more problems. Expect to have problems. John 16, verse 33, Jesus is saying, in this world, you will have trouble. Why in the world do Christians think that when we say yes to Jesus Christ that we're going to live trouble-free? And why in the world do older Christians, and I'm talking about older Christians in the faith, why do they encourage younger Christians, look, all you need to do is accept Jesus when you do, all your troubles are over. There goes the pastor slobbering all over himself again, because that's not true. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more hell's going to come against you. Ain't that right, Mark?
That's true.
Yes. Amen. The closer you want to get to Jesus, the more Satan's going to attack and the more evil's going to surround you. Why? Because you want to do it right. You have the desire to follow Jesus and you want to get this right. Satan does not want you to want that. So Satan is going to attack. Jesus says, Christian, listen to me. I want to tell you what to do when that attack comes. Resist. He doesn't tell me to fight the devil. Doesn't tell me to come toe-to-toe with him. He said, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He'll run from you. So what is it? The resisting is no. I love Jesus. I will serve the Lord. All of my faults and failures as a human being, you might be right, Satan. I know you are. I recognize it in my own life. But I got news for you. Jesus loves me, this I know. And I will not go against his word or his promise. I will have trouble. Nothing ever goes as planned. Found that one out too, haven't we? See, this is just the right age. You kids, you're going to find it out. Okay, I don't want you to be surprised. It's going to hit you right in the face. I want to give you a little encouragement there. Am I helping? No. Good smile. But thinking ahead is still the mark of wisdom. Okay? Nothing ever goes as you plan, but it doesn't mean you don't plan. And this means in advance, God has let me know that it's not going to go the way I planned it. Plan a retirement and see how that works for you. I'm retired. I'm at home. I get to be home with my sweetie pie. In a few weeks, sweetie pie said, will you find something to do and get out of my face? We did fine as long as you're working. Now get out of my face. I love you, darling, but get out of my face. You got that? You know, I might even get a few emails on this one too, but it's a fact, is it not? Proverbs 22 verse 3, a prudent or a wise person foresees difficulties ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. A wise person looks ahead and says, you know, this is what I have planned, but I'm smart enough to know it's not going to go exactly the way I planned. So therefore, I want to plan to have plans as it ceases to go along, as I've planned. We got that in the circle, right? Okay. Number three, put space in your schedule. Double space. Triple space if you have to. Put space in your schedule. You're going to have to decide to build some buffer zones into your life, some downtime. If you don't build downtime in your life, you will go down in your life. Your body cannot handle it. Your mental state cannot handle it. The ones you love cannot handle you. You have got to build that buffer zone, downtime in your life. And remembering that life is a journey, It's not a race. What a man in a hurry to do. Well, you know, I want to get a good education so I make a lot of money and so I can have time with my family. So I'll have 2 to 3 jobs when my family is young, and I'll come home one day with all the money in the world and I won't have any family there to share it with because I bypassed it. I got the money, honey, but I don't have any people to share it with. Oh, no, we'll share with. No, you know exactly what I mean. You have to put that downtime. Why do we stress load everything? Have you ever thought that? We stress load everything. As soon as we're writing it down to do it, we're stressed. Oh, man, how am I going to do this? What if I say this to her and then go tell him this? Maybe they're going to get their act together and I can feel more comfortable inside. And so let's do what we can do. You cannot do it for somebody else. You know how I know? Because you can't even do it for yourself. So we stress load everything. Yeah, I'm going to have this done. I'm going to have it done tomorrow. Really? No, but you know, I'm going to say that because I want to feel. Okay. If I really want to last in life, I've got to realize that I've got a whole journey of life to live. A whole journey of life to live. Now, I keep looking at my time of dying, which is any time, I would say. And then what does God do? God sends me a reminder. 105-year-old mother. And you think of that. And she said, you know, I don't understand life. And I said, well, don't worry about it, Mom. I don't understand it either. Your life or mine. I wasn't given life to understand life. I was given life for a purpose. And that purpose is a daily choice. Do I choose to walk for Christ today or do I choose not to? Personal choice. Nobody can make that for me. Do I choose to do what is right? Do I choose to love? Do I choose to hate? Do I choose to be stressed? When you're stressed, you stress others. You stress other people in your life. People don't want to see you hurt. They don't want to see you broken. And it hurts them when they see that in your life. Ecclesiastes 10:15. Now this happens to be the Good News Translation here. And people say you shouldn't use that word. Well, we shouldn't do it. And the Bible won't have it. And if I get in a King James, it gets rougher. Only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. Well, have you ever, what's the spring of the year? You're going to be out in the yard getting everything worked around and worked up. And you're going to come in, if you make it in. You're going to come in from the yard. And you're going to sit down. And you're going to dare anybody to try to make you get out of that spot you're in. You don't care if it's the steps. You made it to that step, that's your step. You've earned that step because you worked that hard all day long and you ain't getting off that step and they better not step on you stepping over you. You got the point on that, right? Here's the definition of stupid. It is acting. Stupidity is acting in an unintelligent or careless manner. Stupidity is actually an act that we're putting on. It doesn't mean you're unintelligent. It doesn't mean that normally you're careless, but you are in this situation. You just had a bad case of the stupids. And that bad case of the stupids had gone all the way to your bone. And you're having to deal with it. Okay, David, I'm getting off that. Page 4. Number 4, you ready? We must, I know a lot of you love doing this, prune our activities periodically. Why do gardeners prune trees and plants? I've often asked the same thing. Because they cut themselves, they stick themselves, they scratch themselves, and it's their own garden. But they're pruning it for greater productivity. You know, to have greater productivity in your life, there are going to be a lot of sticks, a lot of splinters, a few thorns, and big difference. For the health of the plant, you prune the plant. For the plant's own goodness, and for future blossoms and fruitfulness. Future blossoms. I can look. And, you know, I look at my own life as an old person, and I can read what I've written or read what I'm reading and you know, trying to bring it down to earth. And I think, Larry Pete, you still got time to blossom. Folks, I'm just not sure. I don't have any hair. And think of that. I keep telling every joint in my body, blossom. And every bone in my body and every joint, Steve's going, creak, 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 creak. It ain't blossoming. I know that. And it's not going to heal on its own. So what do? I go get the shot, you know, and said, see if this thing will work. And get a little WD-40 and spray it around. Whatever it takes. Think of that. We must prune our activities periodically. If you don't prune your activities, they will destroy what you're acting on. Prune it back. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Everything is permissible for me. Apostle Paul said this. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Now, what this group was trying to tell him was, Paul said, listen, people, don't you start coming at me with all this food and what people are eating and what they're drinking and all that. Don't you start that with me. Everything is permissible for me because it came from God, a gift from God. But not everything is beneficial. If it offends my brother for me to eat a hot dog in front of him, I won't eat a hot dog in front of him. I'll go around the corner, but I'll eat the hot dog. But there's no reason for me to bother him with a hot dog. I ain't going to give him a bite anyway. No reason for me to offer to do it in front of him that's going to hurt him. It's everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. If you don't periodically prune your activities, now listen to this, God will do it. Do the pruning for you. If you don't periodically prune your activities, God will do the pruning for you. I have a mission. You have a mission. You overdo it. You keep pushing it. God says, that's okay. You'll have time to rest. And then you get kicked in the foot. Or you get kicked in the shoulder. Or the cancer will pop up. And you're praising the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I get to lay down for a little bit. Rest. You could have done it without all of this going on, but I am going to protect you. You know why? You're a child of God and you're the voice of God here on earth. You're the body of His Son on earth, and He loves you, and therefore He's going to prune it for you for your own good. Have you ever heard, do parents not say that? When you're punishing your child, I'm doing this for your own good. I never caught that. It didn't feel to me like it was for my own good because I didn't feel anything good about what was happening. But it's for my own good. Number 5, do less and trust God more. Now the Lord's telling us to do less and trust Him more. What's He saying to you and me? Larry, I want you to study. I want you to prepare. I want you to be ready. Okay, Lord, so I'll do that. I do the outlines. I give them to Jesse and do all of this. I said, this is a sermon for Sunday. And what happens every Sunday? I get up, and sometimes you will hear the scripture, and sometimes you won't. I won't even get close to it. What's going on? God didn't say He was going to use that then. He said, I want you to prepare. And then when you stand up there, I'll tell you what you're going to preach on. I know a few people that let me know when I use that one verse for a sermon. I've done that often. You just got one verse that goes up on the screen. Oh, my goodness, we're going to be there all day. He's got one verse. I look forward to the six pages. When it's got six pages, it goes right through them. But one verse, we're going to be there all day and miss dinner. We're never going to eat lunch. Listen to it. Because do less and trust God more, because God can do more in 20 minutes than you can in 20 years. Trust me on that one. The Apostle Paul hit burnout. Did you know that? Did you know that every one of the apostles burned out? Did you know that every one of the prophets hit burnout? Remember Elijah? Remember how he fought against the 400 prophets of Baal and all that? Remember calling fire down from heaven and how they were all killed and slaughtered and great victory over the enemy. And this, as soon as he gets through, Jezebel, the wicked queen, comes looking for him. He has, there was a total of over 800 different prophets of Baal and Asher and all of them that he had conquered by the power of God. One bad woman comes after him. She comes after him. He runs off, hides under a little weed, and prays to die. That Jezebel had to be quite the Jezebel. One wicked person. And he prays to die. So what does God do? You know, he's going to sit there and he'll just starve himself to death. He'll do that. God gets a dumb bird, a raven, and orders that raven to take food to Elijah. God supplies everything for him. And he's upset because this wicked person is after him. And he just witnessed what God could do in his life. That's us. That's how we are. Do less and trust God more. Apostle Paul hit burnout. He was in Asia, working, serving under the threat of death. Paul, if you and all your followers keep preaching this thing about Jesus, you are going to die. We're going to put you in prison and we're going to beat you to death. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. Paul is giving an account. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. No margin. Burnout. He didn't leave any space. He was warning out of zeal for God, misguided as it might be. He had the right heart, but the wrong approach. Far beyond our ability to endure, as it turned out. It was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength, our wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises the dead. Now listen to what he's saying. Not a bad idea, since he's the God that raises the dead. I serve the God that raises the dead. You and I serve that same Lord. Trust him. Trust him more. When you think you've trusted him enough, trust him more. And keep trusting. I don't care what it looks like for tomorrow. God will be in charge of tomorrow as much as he is in charge of today.